Your conference is being recorded.
Well, welcome everybody. I'd like to welcome you to our first EE 102 conference call. My name is Caroline, and I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Ton Kwachin Council. I see that some of you are in the chat, which is great, so you can say hello like Joshua and Eliza have in the chat. You can also, if you'd like to follow along, open the presentation slides, and you can find a link to those at the top of the learning event, sort of up by where the logo is, that view the PE 102 presentation. So just a little bit of background, and then we'll do introductions. PE 102, or Create Positive Program Experiences, is the second of several PE learning events, and we've designed a series of these to help you and other recreation leaders deliver quality recreation experiences. So in this learning event, and for those of you who are new, we refer to our, we don't call them courses, we call them learning events, and we have learning activities. So in this learning event, as shown on slide 4 in the presentation slides, we're going to explore how to establish safe and supportive environments for our participants. This will involve recognizing some of the personal and social factors that influence individual behavior, identifying strategies to contribute to safe, inclusive, and positive recreation experiences, and understanding how we can use a strengths-based approach in our recreation delivery. I just would like to remind you before we introduce ourselves that as a recreation leader, you may encounter situations where you are told about or suspect child or elder abuse, self-harm behaviors, or other concerning behaviors. This learning event, PE 102, doesn't teach you what to do in those circumstances. And one of the reasons is that each territory has different rules about the age of a child and different rules around the duty of professionals and community members to report abuse. So if you have any concerns, we recommend that you look in your community for the resources that are there to help you in some of these situations. For more information about the age of majority and things like that, you can look at the links we have in the Explore More section at the bottom of the learning space, the learning event in the learning space, and you can also talk to your local RCMP or social services. So we won't be getting into any of those sort of legality pieces in this learning event. So let's take a few minutes to introduce ourselves. What I ask you to do when you introduce yourself, especially because we have some new people joining us, is to tell us your name and your community and the role you play in recreation in your community. And then take a few seconds, you know, like not minutes, but take, you know, 10 seconds or so to share what comes to mind when you think of a positive recreation experience. And I'm going to pop that question into the chat so that you can see what it is. I'll give you a 30 seconds or so to think about it, and I'll share an introduction about myself while you're thinking about your introduction. So for those of you who haven't kind of met me through the phone or in person, I'm Caroline Sparks. I've been involved in recreation across the North for more than 33 years now. So kind of that gives you an idea of my age, giving away secrets. I'm the learning consultant and trainer for the Recreation North training program, so you'll get to know me really well in your journey with us. One of the things that comes to mind when I think of positive recreation experiences is just the satisfaction that I see in the faces of participants when they accomplish something, when they learn something new, when they connect with somebody that they might not have connected with for a long time. So, you know, I just love being able to help people have that type of experience. So let's go to Carly and Eliza first, then Ethan and Morgan, then Haley and Jed, and then Joshua. So if you could each introduce yourself. If you prefer not to talk and type in the chat, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So Carly and Eliza, could one of you start?
Yeah, I'll start. My name's Carly. I live in Whitehorse, Yukon. I'm the special events coordinator at the Canada Game Centre. What comes to mind when I think of positive recreation experiences? I think it's just being able to break down the barriers of recreation and having it feel inclusive to everyone who tries new things for the first time, things like that.
That's great. Thanks, Carly. And over to you, Eliza.
Hi, everyone. My name's Eliza, and I'm the wellness coordinator here at the Canada Games Centre. And I'm just currently acting as the program supervisor for the next little while. So that's given me a fresh perspective on recreation, just seeing it from a different role, which is great. After being in working at the Canada Games Centre here in Whitehorse for the last 15-plus years, so, yeah, I love recreation, and I think for me, positive experiences, I see lots of them in the day just wandering around the building, everything from a new participant or a new member joining the gym and just coming in for the first time, and often they're nervous, and being able to have that little quick conversation with people to just welcome them into this space, and I really do feel like the CGC and all the community members that use it, like, we're this really big, bizarre family, and I just love meeting new people and supporting them in whatever they decide to do within the facility.
That's great. Thanks, Eliza, and I hope that it's nice to see new things through a new role, right, to sort of shed new light on how you see recreation. So enjoy. Let's go to Ethan and Morgan in Kugluktuk. If you'd like to introduce yourselves, one of you can go first, and then just share something that comes to mind when you think of positive recreation experiences.
Hi, my name is Ethan Pudron from Kugluktuk. I'm the recreation coordinator for the hamlet of Kugluktuk, and what comes to mind when I think of a positive recreation experience is a fun, inclusive program.
That's great. Thanks, Ethan. So the funding to make sure that everyone can participate.
Yes.
Thanks. And Morgan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Morgan. I'm from Kugluktuk. I just started working as the youth coordinator for the hamlet of Kugluktuk. And what comes to mind, a positive recreation experience, is when seeing children come in and being inclusive with everything and letting other kids participate with them.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, isn't it, when the children can all come in and feel like they're part of something bigger. So thank you so much for sharing that, and welcome to both of you. Let's go to Haley and Jed. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
I am Jed Sharp from Teslin, and I work as the rec assistant here. I enjoy seeing people have a great time and have good experiences whenever they come and participate in our activities and things.
That's great. Thanks, Jed. And I'm assuming you prefer us to call you Jed, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. And over to you, Haley.
Hi, I'm Haley Clay. I am the rec assistant and building maintenance here in Teslin. What comes to mind when I think of a positive recreation experience is seeing the community members get out and have fun, and like where the adults and the kids both do the same activities and everyone just has big smiles on their faces.
Aww. That sounds wonderful. And people are certainly smiling as spring is coming and the COVID restrictions are lifting. So thank you for introducing yourself and sharing that. Let's go to Joshua and then Megan.
Hello, everybody. I am Joshua. I work here in Faro as the rec assistant. one of the biggest things here in Faro that I find absolutely amazing is watching people getting active again and not being afraid to get out and socialize again.
That's great. It's a good feeling after a couple of years, right?
Absolutely. It is, it's incredible when you can see people enjoying others' company again.
Yeah, and that's one of the wonderful things about working in the field of recreation. We're so lucky. We're dealing with people who are generally pretty happy about what they're doing. So that's a good thing. Thanks, Joshua, and welcome back. And Megan's joined the call, so let's go over to Megan. If you'd like to introduce yourself, we've got some new people on the call, so maybe, you know, who you are, your community, and your role. And then what we're doing is, in 10 seconds or less, sharing what comes to mind when you think of a positive recreation experience.
Yeah, my name is Megan Hashi. I'm a Sport and Recreation Development Officer with the Government of Nunavut, based out of Baker Lake. When I think of positive recreation experiences, I think of inclusive, equal, fun, and usually new, learning new things, yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much, Megan, for introducing yourself. So you can see that we've got people from across the territories. I think our NWT folks weren't able to join today, but so we got pretty good representation from Nunavut and from the Yukon, from different communities. And I love how you've all sort of shared things about positive recreation experiences or about being inclusive. People feel like they belong. They're part of something. They have fun. They can learn something new. So thank you very much for sharing your comments. So the one thing that positive recreation experiences do, and this is shown on slide number 8 in the presentation, if you happen to have that open, positive program experiences help us to make sure that we can deliver or provide or enable the benefits of recreation. So positive experiences are motivating for people. It helps them find their spark. It encourages them to develop new skills and knowledge, as you mentioned. It creates a sense of belonging, and it strengthens relationships within the community. And it helps people, it also encourages social responsibility and fosters leadership skills. So if we in the field of recreation can make sure that our participants have these positive experiences, then we get really great benefits for individuals, but also for our communities as well. So that's what I mean by the benefits, so positive outcomes. As you might know, though, or as you might have found, challenging behaviors sometimes make it more difficult to help us ensure that everybody has a positive experience in recreation. Sometimes challenging behaviors affect learning and social development. They might pose risks to people's or individuals' physical and emotional health, and they can also contribute to the stress and burnout of recreation leaders who are running programs. So slide 10 suggests that you can support positive experiences by being aware of what drives or underlies people's behaviors, by understanding the personal and social factors that influence those behaviors or cause those behaviors or underlie them, and also by using a strengths-based approach. So this learning event, then, we're going to this week look at awareness and empathy, and next week we'll look at strengths-based approaches. So let's begin with awareness, which is shown on slide 11. So as slide 11 shows, behavior can be a clue to what's going on in somebody's life. And slide 12 asks you to think about how the brain actually influences behavior. So I think most of you probably are aware of the fight, flight, or freeze response. So different events in our lives can trigger or even shut down the more sort of logical, rational thinking part of our brain, and it pushes us into that fight, flight, or freeze sort of survival mode. So the brain is actually overwhelmed, and parts of it, you know, it shuts down some of our responses. It pushes behavior outside of what we call a tolerance window, and that's shown on slide 13. So then you might see these fight, flight, or withdrawal behaviors. You might see, you know, acting out where there's running away, screaming, shouting, a fast heart rate, things like that. Or you might see very quiet, shaking, sort of shutting down. So those types of reactions give us an indication that there's something going on for that person. As recreation leaders, we're not counselors. So we can't change others, but we can change how we react. And so this change in ourselves begins with developing our own awareness and empathy. So empathy is about trying to really understand and relate to what someone else might be feeling. If you think of one of your participants or even somebody in, you know, that you, like a friend that you, maybe not a really close friend, but somebody who you know or a participant in your program, imagine that what you see is only the top of an iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. What you or others don't see is the deep part below the surface of the ocean, the big part of the iceberg. And what we don't see is what actually shapes who people are and how they interact with each other. So if you take a look at slide 14, that's got a little vision. It shows you an iceberg, and it says a little pointy top out the top is this is what you see. And the underneath part is that, but if you really knew me, you would know this about me. So what I'd like to do is I'd like us to go around our circle. Let's start with Carly and Eliza again, and then next time we'll start in the middle of our circle. And I'm going to ask you a question, and you can either answer the question as we come around the circle, or you can jot down, because most of you are in the chat, you can jot down some of your answers in the chat if they just come to mind as well. So my question is, we're going to look at some of the factors or things that influence the behavior of our participants or that might impact anybody's, anyone's sort of experiences or behavior. Let me just find, where did my question go? I was going to pop it in. Oh, here it is. So the question is to you, what are some factors that might affect the behavior of our participants? And there's no right or wrong answer here. And maybe if you're at the beginning of the circle, don't give all the answers. Just give one factor each, and that way everybody, we don't get to the end and Megan and Joshua saying, well, everybody else said what came to my mind. So Carly and Eliza, if you can each think of one factor that might affect the behavior of participants or people coming into your facility.
So it's Eliza. So the one that we have seen increase over the last few years in the gym, in the fitness side of things, is people who use pre-workouts and how their behavior changes, or they might be more heightened because of that supplemental influence.
Well, that's really interesting. That's not something I would have written down, but I can absolutely see that. It's like somebody who's taken a whole lot of sort of Red Bull or something like that, I guess, right?
Yeah, it can be quite interesting, especially if it's like, you know, they haven't found how much to take or whatnot. We've had some really heightened situations with members, and even some like first aid situations with people who have taken those types of supplements.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Thank you. Carly, I'll come back to you. Let's go to Ethan and Morgan. Do you guys have one thing that you think sort of underlies or might affect the behavior of the participants or children who come to your programs?
One thing that I can think of is food insecurity.
Exactly. So can you just explain that a tiny bit more, Ethan? What do you notice with food insecurity?
What I noticed is when we were running a program a while back, summer day camp program, I noticed that there's a few kids that weren't really listening to staff and was having a hard time explaining what they were going through. And I believe one of the staff asked if there was One of the staff asked the children if they were hungry or if they ate breakfast or not, and then they said that they didn't have a meal for a couple of days and they're hungry, and then after they had a snack, they started feeling better and participating in our programs.
Yeah, that's a really important one for us to be aware of, isn't it? Because children don't necessarily come to our programs and say, there's no food at my house, or I haven't been able to have a meal today. So, because they don't really want to say that. So I think that being aware that food insecurity can underlie a lot of those behaviors that we see is really important. So thanks for bringing that up, Ethan and Morgan. Let's go to Haley and Jed. Do you have one factor that you might think might affect the behavior of your participants?
Trauma.
Yeah, as in, sorry, go ahead.
If kids have like past trauma in their life, or they're shown like for example, say their parent is in and out of jail their whole life. Well, that kid thinks that is normal, so they normally tend to act out and be a lot more aggressive and a lot more physical with everything because that's what they think is normal, when really that's trauma towards them and that's not normal.
Yeah, and that trauma can underlie a lot of behaviors that we see, and it's very hard to sometimes know. It might be easier in a really small community to know, but in a larger community, it could be harder to understand that underlying trauma. So I think that's something that is very, very important. So thanks for raising that. Joshua, how about yourself? Is there a factor that you think that hasn't been mentioned that might affect the behavior of participants that you work with?
It's kind of hard. Everybody's hit pretty much everything. Bullying, I believe, is a big one.
Sorry, what was that? I missed that.
Being bullied, online bullying, slash at school, stuff like that.
So the sort of social interactions might be some underlying sort of social situations, not necessarily trauma. Well, I guess bullying is trauma too. So other types of things, like not necessarily with your family, but maybe at school or with peers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Nowadays, there's a lot of different types of traumas, emotional, physical, and so on and so forth. And I mean, as people that try to bring in everybody, we have to be aware of these certain things.
Thanks, Joshua.
Yeah.
And Megan, is there anything else that you can think of that comes to mind as far as factors that might affect the behavior of your participants?
Most of what I had in mind was already covered, but also just like home life, like maybe they have some family issues going on or whatever, and that could really keep their minds occupied and away from what they're currently doing in the present.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that you guys have shared some really good factors that might, you know, influence what's going on and the behavior that we actually see. So this is underneath the iceberg. The other thing that comes to mind for myself is the stress that people have encountered because of the restrictions on the pandemic. I know people who absolutely do not want to wear masks anywhere, and other people that are really still worried and are scared about getting sick and getting COVID. So, you know, that those sort of fears or the stresses that have come about as a result of the pandemic could also be something that underlies the behavior that we see. So activity number one in slides 16 and 17 encourage you to consider what empathy looks like and how participants' cultural safety requires leaders like ourselves to develop awareness and empathy. There's a couple of videos. If you haven't had a chance to watch them, try and take them. They're listed in activity number one. They're not very long, less than 5 minutes each. One is a short video about empathy, and the other one is about cultural safety. And although it's from a health field, I think it's still really relevant for us in recreation because we do have a lot of diversity across the North, and to be inclusive, people need to feel respected and also safe. So if we can foster cultural awareness and competence through the programs and events that we do, we can provide a sense of safety and a more positive experience from a cultural perspective, as well as from our empathy that might come from understanding an individual and what might be going on for them. So what I'd like to do now, I think sometimes it's easy to talk about what's not working for people, but I also like to look at what is working, because I think that that's a really important approach for us in recreation. So I'm going to ask you to take some time, or we as a group will take some time, to share what a positive recreation experience looks like from your own perspective. So I'm using the questions that are on slide 18 if you're following along. So the questions ask you, and I'll post this in the chat, and I'll give you a minute to think about it too. They ask you to tell us about a time when you, as a participant, not as a recreation leader, but as a participant, had a positive experience. And explain why the experience was positive, what took place, how did you feel, and what made the experience important or meaningful for you. So I'm going to come up with an example first, not to put anyone on the spot. And then, Joshua, I'm going to ask you to start, if you don't mind. I think that you probably have the confidence to start our circle round after me. So I hope you don't mind me putting you on the spot without asking you beforehand. And so then we'll go Joshua, Megan, Carly, Eliza, Ethan, Morgan, Haley, and Jed. So here's the question going in the chat. So I'm trying to think about, I told you how long I've been working in the field of recreation, so now I have to think about when I was a participant and had a positive recreation experience. I guess I can think of something that was really recent. We're fairly close to the Yukon Wildlife Preserve, and it's wonderful walking in there, but I never really went there because when they first opened, it was pretty expensive, and I didn't quite feel like it was something for us in the Yukon. But more recently, I bought a membership, and I've been going with my daughter and my new granddaughter. And the last time I went, my husband and I went with both of them, and we rented kick sleds, which, I was a little worried about having a sore knee and everything like that. But it was a really great experience because the kick sled itself is something that anybody can try and do, and you feel like you can be successful going fast, slow, going on the flat, going uphill. All ages can use it. And it was also a really positive experience because the guy who met us was super friendly, and he gave a really good rundown on how to use the kick sled and made us feel really welcome. So that sort of welcoming approach, teaching me something but not assuming that, I was absolutely useless at doing it, but assuming that I had some skills and could go ahead and do it, it made that experience really, really meaningful for me, and also doing it with family. So let's go to you, Joshua. If you could share, if you feel like it, I guess I should also say that if you feel like you need to pass on these questions, by all means do, because listening is just as important as sharing. But if you'd like to share, that would be wonderful. So, Joshua, would you like to tell us about a time when you had a positive recreation experience as a participant?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you, it's kind of hard. I've been in recreation now for a couple of years. But one incident was a youth group, actually. In Faro here, we have a big youth group where we take the kids to Whitehorse to go to Mount Suma. And my son, who is 13, was allowed to go on this trip. Now, being a leader, you know all the stuff that you have to do. But being a parent, it was quite nerve-wracking for me, actually, because I was trusting somebody else with my child. But the best experience was the communication. I wasn't left wondering where my child was at a certain time or how he was doing, because it was communicated, the pictures were taken and posted right away, and when an incident did happen, and it did, we got contacted right away. I mean, it felt really good, and as a leader in recreation, you know in your head that communication is pretty crucial, but when you actually get to experience it, on the other hand, it was quite amazing how good I felt and how much fun my son had.
That's great. Thanks. That's great. And that's not something I would necessarily think to pull out is that communication, but that's a really good example, as you said, of something that we can learn and take away as recreation leaders too. So thanks for sharing your story, Joshua. Megan, I'm wondering if you'd like to share a story about a time when you, as a participant, had a positive recreation experience.
Yeah, sure. I grew up playing basketball, and I think one of the best years I had was when I had a really good relationship with the coach. I have hidden disabilities, and because we had a good relationship, I felt really comfortable disclosing any information or, like, talking to her whenever I needed help, and that just made the whole experience overall, like, I was more comfortable coming. I wasn't afraid of any consequences. It was very accommodating, so that was a really nice time for me.
That's great. And did you – was this a relationship that took time to build with the coach, or did the coach do things that made you feel like that relationship was established a lot faster?
It was someone I knew outside of basketball, so that definitely helped. But also, even with basketball, like at practices, she was very open and she was very inclusive with all the players around. And she put time and effort to speak to everyone and make sure everyone was doing well.
That's great. I can see that she was a good role model for you for, you know, inclusive recreation, because I know that's something that is a big priority for you, that everybody feels like they can be part of it. So thank you for sharing your story. Let's go to Carly and Eliza. You guys can point fingers at whoever wants to go first, but I'm wondering if you have a story that you'd like to share.
I thought back about the time I tried aerial yoga for the first time. It was pretty daunting because it's kind of a, like, it seems like you need to know what you're doing. But I walked in, came with a buddy, so that was good. All the teachers were super nice and, well, we'll explain things to you. And it also helped that the class was also full of beginners, so I didn't feel like I looked stupid. Yeah, it was just an overall positive experience, and I came back again just because I liked everyone and how they interacted with people and how you never felt like you were a beginner. Yeah.
So there was a way of sort of building on what you could already do or where you were already at, so you felt like you already had something to start, like a base to start from. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, they just were really supportive and explained things really well, and you never felt like a beginner, and yeah.
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing that. Eliza, do you have a story that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so I think the one that draws to mind is – I got into cross-country skiing as an adult, and I did learn how to cross-country ski, you know, growing up in Whitehorse and through school recreation. But I definitely, to learn proper technique and trail etiquette and things like that on the Mount Mac ski trails as an adult with a group of friends who were all learning how to ski, was a little bit more daunting. So I think that there's a lot of increased usage at Mount Mac, as we've seen over the pandemic, and as I was getting, you know, my footing, so to speak, on skis, I did reach out to the ski club directly to ask or inquire about trail etiquette, because I wanted to make sure that I was following the proper rules and wasn't, you know, understanding who has the right of way and things like that. And then I had a really positive interaction with who was working in the chalet, the wax room, and had a really good relationship with them. And they actually reached out to me last year by email to let me know that they were putting up some trail etiquette signage on the trail, because they had noticed that a lot of new skiers were really wanting to make sure that they were using the trails safely and that they were following the rules, and so that everyone could have that really positive shared experience. So I felt like that it was, you know, a good thing that I asked those questions, and that if I helped, you know, give that feedback to them or get them to think about that in a different way, that then it can be positive for so many other people who are just trying to get comfortable on skis when it is a hard thing to learn as an adult.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, because I know I try and go to Mount Mac at the off hours, because I do find it a little overwhelming sometimes with all the people who go flying past me in their fancier gear. So, it you know, as much as I love skiing, but it's a good example of how, you know, providing a service, you can still make people who are new or wondering how things work feel more included. And so those staff people going out of their way to contact you obviously made a difference. So thanks for sharing. Let's see, we're going to, Ethan and Morgan are listening, and you guys will have the chance to share a story in the required learning activity for this week. So thanks for letting us know. I respect that. Let's go to Haley and Jed. Would one or both of you like to share a story of when you had a positive recreation experience as a participant?
Yeah, I really enjoy biking, so whenever we get to have some biking instructors come out, it's really exciting for me, so that I can get some new skills and really have some professionals tell me what to do.
So for you then, it's more positive when somebody helps give you some instruction and you feel like you're developing your skills a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Haley, anything that you've experienced as a participant that was a positive recreation experience?
I grew up playing baseball for 9.5, almost 10 years. And my dad was my coach every year, so that really helped because I am very socially awkward. I don't like new people. I don't like big groups. So my dad was my coach every year, but he was very get all the kids involved. If one kid wasn't understanding it as much as the other kid, he would take the extra time to go help the one kid that needed the help. So he was just, like, he was there for everybody when they needed him. And then if he would, like, come over to help you and you said, no, I don't want help, he would say, okay, that's totally fine. But then if you changed your mind a couple minutes later and asked for help, he would be right there to help you.
Yeah, so very responsive to what people's needs were at that point in time, right? So not being pushy about it, but also not ignoring people. Always being there. Yeah. That's really important. That's a long time to play baseball growing up. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. We're going to go around our circle once more, and you guys can actually pop in the chat the answer to this if you want to. But now that you've heard people's stories, what do you think if you were, let's say you were training new staff or you were coming on as a new recreation leader or you had people working with you to help you deliver programs, what is one thing that comes to mind that is probably the most important thing that you could tell a new recreation leader to do to help create a positive recreation experience? So let's come back to Joshua. You might just reiterate or restate what you already said, or like if you have someone come up and says, Joshua, I'm just starting out in recreation, what's the most important thing I can do to make sure my participants have a positive experience? What would you say?
Be approachable.
Be approachable. Okay, great. And if you guys pop these in the chat too, that's awesome because then I can capture them all. So Joshua says approachable. Megan, for yourself, what would be the most important thing that a new recreation leader could do?
Just from speaking from experience, a lot of our people who join our rec system here in Baker Lake are like teachers and people who have come from the South. So I would recommend that they learn more about the culture and the social norms here in the North.
Awesome. So learn more about culture and social norms, like for for your community or your region, probably, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, like I find sometimes people from down south are, you know, they don't understand that time flows on a different, at a different pattern or a different rate in the north. And so then they take it as an insult sometimes if people aren't on time, but it's just that we sometimes operate on a different sense of time. So that would be an example of a social norm that somebody coming from outside might not understand. Thanks for sharing that, Megan. Carly and Eliza, maybe each one of you could jump in with, if you had a new staff working with you or a new person, what would be the number one thing that you would tell them they could do to help make recreation experiences positive for their participants?
Yeah, I think the big one would just be try and treat everyone equal in your program and not make any prejudgments, not based on, you know, what you think they know or what you think they feel, or just kind of treat everyone equally.
Great, thank you. And is there another thought from Carly and Eliza?
It's Eliza, sorry. I just kind of like popped back in partway through there.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I think I kind of got the gist of it. I think, yeah, if I was having a new staff or someone join the team, I think one of the biggest things is be open to all experiences, because I think that a lot of times we get set in our ways or we get set with our ideas, and I think that, you know, oftentimes that can pigeonhole us into programming a certain way. And I think that the more open we can be for, like, fresh ideas or different perspectives, that will continue to always evolve and enhance our recreation program and services.
That's great. Thanks, Eliza. And that's actually almost what Ethan popped in the chat. So Ethan has popped in the chat saying, be understanding and get input from your participants. And Ethan, I heard you share that on the last conference call we had, is how important it is for you to not make these assumptions, but to listen to people in your community and, as Eliza said, be open to all experiences. So thanks, Eliza. Thanks, Ethan. Would Morgan have anything to add to that, Ethan, or is she sort of agreeing with what you've put in the chat there?
Yep, she just agreed with what I put in the chat there.
That's great. Thanks. And it's great when you work together, because I think Morgan's new working with you, that you guys believe, both of you believe that that's important, because then people get to expect the same thing from your recreation department and all of your programs if you both sort of act in ways that you believe are really important. So that's good that you have agreement on that. Thank you. Haley and Jed, how about for yourselves? If, you know, I'm not sure how long you've been in your positions or not, but if somebody new started it or joined you, what would be your, like, words of wisdom, or what would you tell them is the most important thing to do to enable positive recreation experiences for your participants?
So I've only been in my position for about 3 weeks now. But one thing that is very important to me is staying neutral, so you don't take anybody's side. If you have problems with a parent outside of work, you leave that outside of work. You don't bring it into recreation, because if you do, then it's the kids who start to suffer, and that's not fair to them.
I love that. That's great. And that can be really hard in a small community, right? Because, you know, you might have a challenge with your neighbor, but you run into them in the grocery store and their kids come to your program. So thanks so much for sharing that, Haley. And how about yourself, Jed? Is there, you know, something that you think would be really important either for yourself if you're new in your position, or somebody who might be joining you, to do to make sure that recreation experiences are positive?
I'd say being willing to participate and be a good example to the people joining in your program.
Yeah, I like how you say, like, willing to participate and also setting an example. I think as recreation leaders, we are all role models in our communities, and especially younger people look up to recreation leaders. They look to all of you as a role model. So if you are expecting, you know, certain behaviors from people, you need to role model those in yourself. So thanks for raising that. That's really, really important. I'm going to, those are kind of like words of wisdom. So I will pop those in, in a message back to you after this conference call. And, for those of you who are working together, so, you know, in White Horse, in Kukluktuk, and in Teslin, it's great to have a conversation about, you know, sort of these values and the way that you express the values and how you act, where you gain your own awareness, how you show empathy for others so that then you can act in a way that makes recreation experiences more positive for everybody. So thank you for sharing that today. So we have something called an RLA each week. So each week in our learning events, we have an RLA and a conference call. And so for this week, your RLA, and it stands for Required Learning Activity, it's about awareness and empathy. So what I'm asking you to do, the instructions, are, you can find the instructions on slide 19 or also in activity 3. And a few people have already done this, so there's some examples in there that you can take a look at as well. So you're going to choose a situation in recreation where you experience, so you might be the participant, or where you observe challenging behaviors. And you're going to tell us about what happened, what you observed, so the top of the iceberg, that you, and what might have contributed to the situation, so underneath in the iceberg. You can do that in writing. You can draw it out and take a picture and post it. There's also the option when you're in activity number 3 to add. What you're going to do is click add a new discussion topic. And when you're in there, if you click advanced, it lets you do an audio. So if you, you know, don't have a lot of patience with writing, then you can also do an audio file, and that's totally okay too. For those of you who are new to our learning space, if you're not sure how to share required learning activity, please, you can check out Getting Started. There's some instructions and videos there. You can send me a message and I'll help you. Or you can also just email me as well as what your activity is and I can post it for you. And Ethan, I think you might have had some challenges last time around, maybe because of the internet with sharing it, but if you're able to show Morgan how to add to a forum so that then as she carries on with the learning events, she can keep doing that, that would be great. So thanks, everybody. I think we're done our conference call a little earlier than I expected, but I'm sure that you're all happy. It's a sunny day here in White Horse today, so I hope that you have sunshine wherever you're at as well. I hope spring's on the way. I look forward to reading your or listening to or seeing your required learning activity that's due on Sunday. And then we will have a conference call next week at the same time. So I'm going to end the recording. If you have any questions for me, just stay on the line. It takes me a second to push the right buttons to stop the recording, but stay on the line and I can answer your questions after, or you can send me a message as well. So thank you so much, Masi Cho, Kwana. Merci. Thanks for joining today.